flexibility your schedule needs. What was that about convenience? Sign up for Royal Banks of Missouri mobile banking system, and rates are down. Refinance your home mortgage. Finance that next vacation with a home equity line of credit, or take care of that new car loan, all with Royal Banks of Missouri. Check them out at royalbanksofmo.com.
Biggie's Restaurant has been a staple of the community for over 30 years and is serving your favorites for carryout and dine-in. Keeping you safe is just as important as serving the best food in St. Louis. So Biggie's will open with limited seating, including outdoor tables, no more than 8 to a table, and all 6 feet apart. Biggie's will be open from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Thursday, as well as Sundays, and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Friday and Saturday. Biggie's will be serving their full menu with all of your favorite daily specials.
Hey everybody, it's Dr. Eric Napudi. Do you love America and freedom? If so, then let me personally invite you and your family to Freedom Tour Missouri. It is a free, family-friendly, pro-American, patriotic event, September the 12th at Arrowhead Construction on Highway 70 across from Mid Rivers Mall. Food trucks will be there, vendors, guest speakers including Kevin Jackson, Mark McCluskey, Dr. Rashid Buttar, Stacey Washington, and much, much more. Come join us September the 12th. Gates open at 11. Ceremony goes from 12 to 3. Go to MissouriFreedomTour.com. That's MissouriFreedomTour.com.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worries on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side. Can you hear a pitter-pat? And that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the rain, but I'm not afraid. This rover.
Hey, I tell you what, you can take a good look at a butcher's ass by sticking your head up there, but wouldn't you rather take his word for it?
What?
I'm failing to make the connection here, son.
No, I mean, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a butcher's ass, but then, no, it's got to be your bull.
Wow.
Crossed over if I never have a cent.
Tommy boy.
I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Well, let's see how the microphones are sounding today. Still sound like crap to me. Because that other stuff you were playing was at a completely different level than how I hear myself. So what are you going to do? Good afternoon. You know, before I welcome everybody, that Chris Farley thing you just played. I just finished a book, and when I say I finished the book, I'm not a book reader, but I went through the book because I'm not interested in Chris Farley in grade school and how he put on little shows. I wanted to get to the, you know, the stuff I was curious and interested in. And it's a fascinating story about a guy who was in and out of rehab multiple times, but like John Candy, and then I'll tell you how he was unlike John Candy. Like John Candy, everybody in this, it's called The Chris Farley Show. And the book is written not in the words of just the author and co-author, which is Farley's brother and a writer. Through the book, at the top of each paragraph, they tell you whose words you're reading. Kevin Nealon, Dan Aykroyd, and then they have transcribed in the interview what those people said about Chris Farley. And it's interesting to read what they say about him because across the board, the nicest guy and the most fun to be around and lovable. Exactly like John Candy. What killed John Candy was his heart. What killed Chris Farley was what was in his system. And the other interesting thing that I read was, and this is from his brother. I believe his brother was one of the two people that Chris was supposed to watch his brother's children for a day or two while they were going somewhere. And when they couldn't get a hold of him, they went to his apartment or whatever and walked in and they found him dead. And they did their best to keep it quiet until, you know, they could release what they wanted to release. But it was next to impossible because once somebody in the building heard some commotion, and it's Chris Foley's apartment, people coming in, word just wildfire, boom! And then Chris Farley's dead, and then all the speculation. The police, and right or wrong, this is another example of what some police officers are willing to do. His brother said that when they went in Farley's place, there was stuff everywhere. No liquor. He had had an alcohol problem. All drugs. Not just prescription drugs. There was cocaine. But the officers went around and confiscated all of the illegal stuff and handed it to Chris's brother. Now, the reason they did that was to help the family maybe avoid the shame and the criticism that goes along with people use illegal drugs. And he was supposed to have cleaned up, and he did for over 3 years.
They gave his family the drugs?
They confiscated them, gave them the bag to him, and said, you do what you want with these. I just didn't think you'd want the paparazzi, the press, anybody to get in here with cameras and see this stuff. And I thought, you know what, right or wrong, that to me, I would be grateful to that cop for the rest of my life.
It's funny because when my grandma Rose died on New Year's Day over in Fairview Heights, Illinois, several years ago, my cousin was living in the house with her, helping take care of her, and she found her dead in bed, called the police, coroner's office comes, and the police actually ordered her out of the house, and they did a sweep of the house to confiscate any medicines that were in her name and wouldn't let her go back in the house until they had swept the house and got all the meds out.
Mm-hmm. Wow. This was who?
My grandmother.
Your grandmother wasn't famous. Your grandmother wouldn't have been subjected to massive ridicule,
right,
and criticism.
Correct.
Your family wouldn't have been.
My point is that if the police that responded to the Farley death scene are willing to cover up the fact that all these illegal drugs were present and in and around the house, obviously they're not going to put that in their report. Why wouldn't they just take them and dispose of them instead of saying, hey, here's all the leftover coke from Chris and all the leftover...
Because I think they gave the family the option. You can let the world know that this addiction got the best of him.
Yeah.
Or not. And I'm not saying it's right, but I got news for you. If that had been my son or my brother and they did that, I'm not going to look at him and go, why, you horrible police officer. I would say thank you. And then it's really up to me. But you know how cruel Inquirer, TMZ, Opera, you know how cruel they can be, how they blow things out of proportion. Now, what happened, in fact, was that in the autopsy, it was all revealed. He had heroin, metabolized morphine, which is metabolized heroin. He had, fentanyl, and like three or four other nasty, horrible things in his system, but not a trace of alcohol. And he also had been an alcoholic. Now, he went to the Hazelden Clinic up in Minnesota, which is a Betty Ford property. It didn't work. He went to other places, didn't work. Alabama didn't work. California didn't work. And in the end, after being clean, I read his speech, the transcript from his speech, that he went back to Hazelden and got up and spoke to the patients there and told them his story about how he was there, but it didn't work for him. Not dissing the facility, but saying to them that he understands how sometimes this addiction to these things like heroin are so powerful that even a facility that's pretty good, I would think, at what they do, can't help some people. That it takes something more, something else to happen. It's a pretty fascinating story about a guy. And then it made me go back and watch on YouTube some appearances on Letterman with Chris Farley. And when you watch him, you feel bad for him because he was a great big guy who... It's always interesting to wonder how funny would he have been had he not been so big. And my answer to that is he probably would have never been famous because what they saw initially in him, and the book goes into the whole Lorne Michaels meeting and when he auditioned for Saturday Night Live, they saw a really funny fat guy who could take that and turn it into Matt Foley, the motivational speaker. And in the book, you read the words of Father Matt Foley. There was a guy that he took that from. And I think sometimes, John Candy, I don't think John Candy, I don't know what his appeal would have been had he not been the lovable big guy, if that makes sense.
Was this the book? Because I read a book about Chris
Farley
one time.
There are two books. There's one called, this is called The Chris Farley Show.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's one called I Am Chris Farley, something like that.
There was one that I read where David Spade told a story about Chris Farley where they went to a steakhouse one night and Chris Farley ordered this humongous porterhouse steak and he cut it up into about, I don't know, 30 different pieces on his plate before he ate a bite. And then he asked the waiter for 30 sticks of butter. And he took his fork and put it on a stick of butter, and each bite of steak had a full stick of butter. And David Spade asked him, "Why are you doing that?" And Chris Farley's like, "Because it looks like each one's got a little hat on." And then he ate it. He ate the whole steak with 30 sticks of butter.
Wow.
I mean, I like butter, and I'm fat, but okay. I don't like that much butter.
But think about that. That's him using being a fat guy who eats too much to get attention. And he wasn't even on stage.
It was at a dinner.
It was a restaurant. But they talk about that. It didn't matter where he was. He was the funny fat guy wherever he was. You know, when you fall down and you're big, it's funnier than when you fall down and you're little.
Unless you're the guy that falls.
Well, I actually believe he had as much fun... Right. Being that guy as anybody. He could not believe that he was famous. His dad weighed 400 pounds. And his dad was a loud, gregarious, center of attention. But when Chris Farley died, dad was also an alcoholic. In the words of Chris's own brother, dad never drank another drop. Sat in a chair and looked out the window until he died 2 years later in his 60s. He could not deal with what happened to his son. And it's just an interesting educational look at how something can... You know, Robin Williams did a lot of cocaine. And he even said... Quite frankly, he didn't think he was nearly as funny when he wasn't on cocaine. It fueled something. And the reason I've never tried cocaine, the only reason I've never tried it, quite frankly, I'm not afraid if I do it, my heart's going to explode. Millions of people do it. The only reason I don't do it is because I guarantee you, and I know myself well enough to know, I couldn't quit. I'd be in all the way with cocaine.
See, I've heard you say, and I've heard other people say, they don't understand why a guy as famous and as well-liked and as wealthy as Robin Williams would ever want to commit suicide. And my response to that is, have you ever tried cocaine? To people who say that. And those that have, and those that haven't, I give them the same response. I say, you don't understand depression, and you don't understand the body's mind to the level of depression that he had to be at unless you're on cocaine and coming off of it and have no more, you're about to run out. It's a level of depression that you'll never, I mean, the death of a child, it's beyond, and that's why cocaine addicts are always wanting more and more and more and more and more, and they go on 3-day binges until their body just completely exhausts and wears out, and then they pass out.
But they said the reason for Robin Williams was that he had been diagnosed with Parkinson's, and, mm-hmm. and he could not deal.
Was there cocaine in his system when he died?
I don't remember. I don't remember. I doubt it. But I probably said over the years a lot of things out of ignorance. We all did. And then you get older and you learn. You learn things. And I don't any longer say things like, I can't understand why Robin Williams killed himself. Well, I can't understand it because I wasn't in his head. So I don't look at people who do that stuff the way I used to, as losers, weak. Well, you know, he'd have to kill himself. Well, really? Yeah, he did. In his mind, he did. He did not want the world to see him as a guy shaking who could no longer be funny. He just could not do that. He'd rather be gone than not be Robin Williams. And Robin Williams was the other in recent years, I say recent years, holy crap, or 20, the other shocker to the world, because the world has no idea what's inside the heads of other people, not just famous people. And I would be less than truthful if I didn't say that there have been times when I thought I wanted to be famous. I mean, famous like can't go anywhere without people. It's Franco Pena. And then I finally decided I'm not built for that. I'm not made to handle that. That would last a year, maybe, with 15 different people owning me and controlling me and telling me where I had to be and why I had to be there because of the contract and the money involved and an agent and a lawyer and a publicist and an accountant and a manager. I mean, the laundry list of people who take pieces of what they make. And granted, they still, some of them have more than enough money. But you're being pulled in a dozen different directions, and you may just be exhausted. And then you get a call from somebody asking you to get up and be funny at a charity event you do not want to go to. You're fried, but you have to because you owe that person, and you know you do. So you go do it. And to get up for it, maybe you have to have a few drinks or cocaine or whatever. I've started to sort of get it. And I also used to think, well, if you drink too much, just quit drinking. Well, for that easy, everybody who did heroin would just stop doing it. They just stopped doing heroin. I talked to somebody yesterday who knows a young man. And this young man said directly to the person I was talking to, and the young man's a heroin addict, and he said that he and his dad both did heroin, and they got into an argument, a bad argument, and his dad took out a gun and blew his brains out right in front of his son. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't know how you get beyond that if you're already a heroin addict and now you got the image. And he told my friend, he said, for a moment, I thought of reaching down and picking the gun up out of the pool of blood and then just blowing my own brains out. I think there's a much bigger problem in this country with heroin and meth and fentanyl than most of us have any idea, can't even imagine. And then there's alcohol, which I actually think may be a bigger problem. A guy can walk in somewhere and shoot three people. It's all over the news. We got to do something. But every day, drunk drivers kill 30 people. That's been the national average for like the last five years. 30 people a day, drunk drivers killed. It's not in the news, not a big deal, nobody cares. A couple of reasons. Big money and liquor, and two, it's illegal. Drinking is legal. Cocaine is not, heroin's not, fentanyl, meth, not legal. Cannot make any money on it, taxes. So this alcohol thing, it's a big deal. It's a big problem. But I'm sorry, but the Chris Farley thing, as soon as you played that, I just started thinking about this book and the stuff that I had read in this book. And then the funeral was interesting for Chris Farley. All of the people, David Spade said it was the weirdest sight in the world to see all of these people who are the funniest people you know. Kevin Nealon, David Spade, all the SNL people, the people you see always laughing, having a good time, all sobbing. He said it was the strangest. He said I was one of them. Just all sobbing. And he said Dan Aykroyd gets up, and they think he's going to go up to the podium or whatever, the funeral, and speak, but he doesn't. He gets up and walks up and down the aisles of the church, just talking as he's walking, talking to the people in the pews about Chris Farley and just about addiction. And they said it was incredible. I don't think it's a book for everybody, because you're not reading, it's written strangely, but because every paragraph, you're reading the words of somebody that they sat down with for the book. And I sort of, at first didn't like that, and then I kind of thought, this is very interesting to listen to what these people have to say. So welcome to the large morning show in the afternoon. This is the 1st of September, if you can believe it. It's really hard to believe. But I wait for this day every year. And I don't wait for it because it's my birthday. It's not my birthday. It's not any special anniversary day. I wait for it because if you know the song, today, the 1st of September, is another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
It was the 3rd of June, another sleepy, dusty Delta day.
What did she say, 3rd of June?
30 June.
I had it wrong. I thought it was 1st of September.
Off by a couple of weeks. It's all right.
Yeah, I messed it up. Sorry about that. So welcome aboard, everybody. Here are our phone numbers if you are interested. And we'll do the Burke segment, but we'll also talk to you. 4 o'clock hour, Dan Buffa, TV, movies. You're welcome to jump in for that, too. 314-821-0590 or 855-282-8255. Does anybody have anything? You know what? I'll take these calls first, because one guy's been holding a long time. But take these, and we'll do the Burke segment. Dan, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Great.
That's funny, what you just did. That's funny, man.
I know.
That's a good one. I'm sorry, go ahead, Dan.
I'm good, Frank. Amen to PM.
Thank you.
Wanted to say thanks for your recommendation. I went down to Pistols Plus over the weekend and took my rifle collection down to Jim and his wife, and nice place. I wanted to make sure your listeners knew about it, too, from somebody who's been there for the first time.
Well, and Dan, since you mentioned that, you might want to go back this coming weekend, Labor Day weekend, because it is their 25th anniversary, and they got a bunch of neat stuff going on. And they're giving away some stuff, drawings, and it'll be great.
She said you're going to make an appearance there, too.
Well, I would be making an appearance there if it weren't their 25th anniversary, because I almost always go in there when I'm there, and then try to fight the urge to get another gun I don't need.
Well, she's got you pretty well pegged. She told me if she gets anything that's the newest or latest or greatest, she has to call you.
Well, and she does. And then I'm usually able to fight the urge, but I'm glad you went there. I'm glad you liked it. Isn't it much bigger than it looks on the outside? I mean, you walk in and go, wait a second, I just saw the outside of this place, and no, it's huge. It's big.
Yeah, it's like a smaller version of a Cabela's.
Yes.
But, I mean, they've really classed it up. It's got a lot of stuff in there that really looks nice. I mean, it's not your average.
No.
I mean, it doesn't look like a pawn shop. They've got a pawn shop on the other side of the building.
And not many other gun stores have, like, 200 beautifully mounted animals, from foxes to full-size, standing on their feet, bears.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, like a museum.
And also, just so your listeners know, besides... You know, I took my rifles down there to see if they would buy them, and they certainly can, and they would have in my case, but if they're, well-used rifles like mine were, because these were my dad's and mine, and they've been sitting in my gun case for the past 25 years. They said, well, you'd probably be better off either selling them on consignment or putting them in our auction. They have a weekly auction.
Yeah.
Which is their next one is going to be till the middle of the month, so we're putting them on consignment for the next couple of weeks, and then if they don't go before that, they're going to put them in their auction in the middle of September. So they were very nice. Jim is very knowledgeable, and he knows what he's doing.
There's not much that he doesn't know. I called him last week, and I'm trying to think of the question that I had. It was something about I can't remember, the caliber of a bullet or something, 500 versus 50 caliber. It was something, and boom, he knew the answer, just like that. And there's not much that he doesn't know. They're really good people. It's a great store. And, you know, when people say, well, I found that gun cheaper somewhere, okay, go ahead and buy it somewhere else. You buy it online and have them have to ship it to a gun store. You have to pay a fee for that. And then good luck if you ever have a question or a problem. Where are you going to go? I don't believe in to save $20, $30, especially when it comes to something like that. I just don't believe it.
And you know what, Jim made another interesting point that I hadn't considered, but he said if you go to some gun store that you've dealt with, or take it to a dealer at a gun show like they just had in St. Charles last weekend, he said, you know, if that dealer ends up selling it to a person who commits a felony with that gun, you're on the hook. And he said, if they book it in their store, at that point, it's their responsibility, not yours. So that was a good point.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of good things about that place. 25 years, congratulations to them, and they'll be celebrating it all weekend, I think especially Saturday. They have some food, and it'll be great. Mm-hmm. It'll be great. I'm glad you went.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks again for the recommendation. Sure.
About that. All right, Dan. That's Pistols Plus in Osage Beach. I've talked about it many, many, many times. This is Cal. Cal, welcome to 590 The Fan. How are you?
Very good. Hey, I just wanted to touch base on what you're talking about, Chris Farley. And I lived up in Chicago during that time, and was at Butch McGuire's the night that's an Irish bar up in River North. And that guy was bigger than life. But when he was always at the bar, that was his spot. He would just sit towards the end of the bar, mind his own business, and he was a really quiet guy. I mean, I went up there all the time. I lived up in that neighborhood as well. And he always had a different hooker in there that he was with.
I think he liked the hookers. But think how sad that is. He always had horrible. He always had trouble having a love life because of his size, his persona. That's sad that he had to do that. But when he was he famous when you saw him there? Was he already on SNL?
He was at Second City.
Okay.
So up there, up on, I think it's Wells Street up there. And, but he was a local celeb there. And, you know, him and Belushi, they actually died on the same day. Or not on the same day, but same age, 33.
Yeah.
So.
And a lot of people think, a lot of people think we wanted to be like John Belushi and he wanted to die like John Belushi. It's not true. Lorne Michaels, in the book, Lorne Michaels talks about calling Farley in and said, listen to me. I don't want another John Belushi. I'm not going through that again. You either clean this mess up or you're off the show. And that woke him up for a while.
That's exactly right.
It didn't stick. I appreciate the call, Cal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, we're talking about it like he just died. But it's still fascinating because, you know, years later you end up learning things that you didn't know before once the dust has settled. Does anybody have anything to say?
I
knew when Tim Woodburn inhaled, when he went,
yep.
I knew he had something. Ladies and gentlemen, our newsman and the head of our research department, Tim Woodburn.
Hey, Frank.
Welcome.
Do you know how to keep score in baseball?
No. No, I don't.
You don't know there's nine people on the field. You don't know what number is assigned to each position?
I do not. I'm an idiot.
To keep score?
No.
So one is the pitcher, two is the catcher, three is first base, four is second base, five is third base, six is the shortstop, left field seven, center field eight, right field nine. So if you're keeping score, ground ball to short, throws to first, you write down 6-3. Okay.
I'm the guy who at 25 didn't know what the seventh inning stretch was, and it was embarrassing. So that's the day I learned.
Well, the number one trending story on STLtoday.com, the Post-Dispatch website, is something that Yadier Molina did on Sunday that has never, ever occurred in the history of baseball.
Wow.
And I just watched the video of this sitting here. And what
I do know he's a catcher.
Right.
Woohoo!
Yeah, you got to nail that one.
Yeah, thank you.
So on Sunday's game against Cleveland, I think it was Sunday, Cleveland had runners on first and second, and there was less than two outs. And the batter hit a ball to first baseman Paul Goldschmidt. He's the three. Okay? So as soon as he catches the ball, the scoring play is going to start three. There's a guy on third base. He throws home to Molina. Now he catches the ball, so now it's 3-2. Molina runs down the third base line because he got the guy stranded between third and home. And he runs down the line. He's got the ball in his right hand. He's got the glove in his left hand. Okay, and I used to be a Little League baseball umpire, and I'm a huge baseball fan. The guy is kind of standing there. He can't figure out if he's going to dive back into third or try and get around Molina or duck under him or whatever. He's just kind of held up there. He's actually trying to delay so that the other guys on base can advance around. So Molina gets to him, and he touches him with the glove with the ball in his right hand, which isn't supposed to be an out. The ball's supposed to be in the glove to touch him, unless the guy runs out of the baseline. The ump could say he's out for running out of the baseline. But I just watched a video of this. This guy's standing right next to the line between third and home. He wasn't even close to being out of the baseline. Molina tags him with the glove, and the third base ump calls him out when he shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Then the center fielder, Dylan Carlson, runs all the way in from center field because now they got the guy hung up between second and third, and the other guy's hung up between first and second. I mean, this is a cluster.
Right.
So Molina runs towards second base, and the guy that's between second and third, he's kind of like, you know, about 6 feet from the bag, and he's kind of like figuring out whether to go make a run to third or to dive back into second. Well, Dylan Carlson, the center fielder, runs all the way in from the outfield to stand at second base, and Molina acts like he's going to go after the guy going back to first base, and he blindly throws the ball across his body to Dylan Carlson, who throws left-handed, and you don't see many left-handed players make tags on the base unless it's the first baseman. He catches the ball, and the guy dives back in and tags him out. And the Elias Sports Bureau, which keeps track of every statistic in the history of baseball, says that's the first time in Major League Baseball history that there has ever been a 3-2-8 double play.
Wow.
Ever.
Wow.
At
the time it happened, nobody probably realized it?
Well, the Elias Sports Bureau is baseball's official statistician research firm, and they went back and researched all the box scores in the history of the game. And
Did they know it during the game? Before the game was over?
I'm not sure when they figured it out, but I'm sure they figured it out pretty quick. With computers and everything these days, I'm sure you can figure out pretty quick. But the funny part of it is that nobody mentions the story. The guy shouldn't have been out at third base in the first place.
Bad call.
Because Molina didn't have the ball in his glove.
It doesn't matter. That was the call, right? That was the call.
When once the ump calls him out, he's out.
That's it.
I mean, I think Cleveland could have challenged the call and said he didn't have the ball in his glove. And if they had challenged it, I don't know if they could have overturned that or not. But it was the first thing I saw and it's the number one trending story on their website.
The other thing I find interesting is before he was even, I think, a Major League Baseball player, he was mentioned on Seinfeld all the time, like 20 years ago. They kept saying, yada, yada, yada. Remember that? Yada, yada, yada. They say that all the time about him. That wasn't him? That wasn't him?
No, that wasn't him.
Yeah.
And right now, there's a huge story trending right now. Today's the trading deadline in Major League Baseball, and there's a huge story that could break any moment now that the Cardinals are about to reacquire Albert Pujols.
Really?
Whoa, that is huge. That is huge.
September Fools.
Oh, I see what he did. See what he did. September Fools. I should have known. I should have known a September Fools joke.
Oh, man.
Been waiting on that for months because we didn't do a show on August 1st. We didn't do it July 1st. I've been waiting on that for months.
Good one.
Oh, man. And I bit too.
Yeah.
A lot of people did.
Can somebody get the hook out of Dan's mouth? Do we have a nurse on staff here?
No, but I'll tell you, we do have on a guy who has not been on for a while, even though he has his own segment. Could we have his theme music, please?
Norman.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Ooh,
Norman.
Mm-hmm. Do we even know Norman's last name? He told us
once. Once, but I don't remember.
I'll have to ask him again. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the Norman Show, please welcome all the way from Sullivan, Missouri, once again, you all love him, Norman. Hello, Norman.
Yeah, Norman Cohn, C-O-N-E. Norman Cone. C-O-N-E. Yeah. Like an ice cream cone.
Yeah.
Wow. There you go. I think you told us that years ago. How you doing, Norman?
That you get from Dairy Queen.
Uh-huh. How are you? Okay.
Part of my relation lives at Dairy Queen.
I'm sorry?
Part of my relation lives at Dairy Queen.
Part of your relation lives at Dairy Queen? Who in your family lives at Dairy Queen?
His sister Snow?
Yeah.
Snow cone. I get it. Did you get that, Norman? Tim said your sister Snow cone.
Find that out.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Norman said that's a good one. Yeah. So who does live at Dairy Queen?
Anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
I guess we're moving on. So what's new, Norman? How's your, what's her name, Butler? Mary?
Miss Rosemary Butler.
Rosemary Butler.
Miss Rosemary
Butler. Yeah, Delmar Gardens on the Green.
I'm sorry?
She's at Dairy
Queen. Delmar Gardens on the Green.
Yeah.
How's she doing?
Delmar Gardens on the Green.
She's still your girlfriend, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does she know that? She knows she's still your girlfriend?
Yeah.
Now, what is that? I hear a stringed instrument. What is that?
Sounds like an organ.
It's
more like a ukulele to me.
It's an organ.
No, you're right, Limey. It's an organ.
What's that?
Do you play the organ?
Yeah.
Dan, did you know he played the organ in addition to the kazoo? I didn't know this. I guess you're warm enough to play something for us? Or?
Yeah.
What would that be?
I got it right here. Mm-hmm.
What is it? What are you playing?
Lord have mercy on us. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Pass the ammunition and we'll all be saved. Praise the Lord. Pass the viruses right on by.
I believe Norman's taken an old song and rewritten it.
Wow.
I did not know you played the organ.
No.
Now, what is that song from, that Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition? I've heard of that before. Is that from a play or a movie? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, which?
Mm-hmm. I put a nice thing to it there.
Yeah, you put a nice thing to it.
Kind of like that. It sounds like a harpsichord.
It does.
Something.
It does. Is that an electric keyboard?
It runs on batteries.
That would be electric. Yeah.
Double AA batteries.
That's still electric.
Double A.
Yeah.
Double
it's
A.
Electric.
Yeah.
I think you're confusing them with electric and battery.
Well, batteries are electric.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, what else is going on, Norman? It's been a long time.
I'm around here yet.
You what?
I'm around here yet.
He's around there yet.
You're around here yet.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
Have you gone to Cracker Barrel in Sullivan there lately?
Yeah. I had two hot cakes and trout with mashed potatoes and French fries from Cracker Barrel.
You know, Norman.
Mashed potatoes and French fries.
Yeah.
Wait. You used one or the other.
Not the normal.
That's a lot of potato carbs.
You know.
Say trout?
You have trout? Yeah, they have trout. I was there at the Sullivan Cracker Barrel 7 weeks ago. I wish I'd run into you. I had my usual chicken and dumplings because they give you lots of it and it's absolutely perfect.
Yeah.
And I had that and I had green beans and cornbread and biscuit.
Yeah. Had a couple of hot cakes and gave me syrup to put on it.
They usually do that, yeah, with hot cakes. Usually get syrup.
Hot cakes bottles, with
syrup. Bottles look like had whiskey in them and was syrup.
How do you know it wasn't thick whiskey? Real thick whiskey. Now, what are you playing now?
My keyboard.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. What song are you playing?
There's one song I'm thinking of here.
You're thinking of it as you play it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's called composing. Yeah.
That's what Bach and those guys did. Mozart. They composed.
You know how some people.
Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, pray for poor banished children of Eve.
You just wrote that? Did you just write that?
Yeah. And
unbelievable. Unbelievable.
In abortion, in all wars. Amen.
Did you say in a Porsche and in all wars?
End abortion and all wars.
Right.
Well, you know, sadly, Norman, I don't believe you'll ever see an end to those things. I know. That peace on earth thing, that sounds good too, but that's never going to happen.
You can still ask for it.
You can still ask for it, yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, Norman, you're obviously very religious. What religion? Are you Catholic?
Catholic.
Yeah. Do you still go? Are you able to go to services, to Mass, or no?
Yeah, I can still go, but I've been so lazy since
Join the club. Since COVID?
When I go to the foot doctor, I wear my mask. I feel like the Lone Ranger.
Well, you must have a... Oh, he just did a galloping sound. Hold on, do that again. No, no. Norman, do that again. Do the gallop and the horse sound again.
Yeah.
Was that Silver on TV, the horse, or was that you?
That's me.
Well, I understand him better when he speaks in horse than when he speaks regular. I can understand him clearer.
That was Tim Woodburn that said that.
Oh, that was Limey.
Said that mean thing to you. Not me. Tim.
And,
Norman's laughing.
Jim Conto.
Yeah. You know, did you ever see that Lone Ranger episode where the Lone Ranger and Tonto were headed up to Canada?
Oh, my God.
And the Lone Ranger said, on to Toronto, pronto, Tonto. You ever see that one?
Yeah.
You did? Wow, I thought that was just made up.
No, he's seen it.
Oh, there was an episode then.
Oh.
Well, Norman, is there anything else?
That's all.
That's all.
I got something here. Happy birthday. Roll call here.
Well, I'd love to hear that.
Whoa.
Kazoo and organ simultaneously. Woo! Two instruments at once.
Oh, come on.
Come on, audience. Come on. Come
man,
on,
that would be
audience.
So awesome.
Back my ear.
What would be awesome?
To have Norman come out and play before our band plays or something. Or
now you're talking.
And my friend, Miss Rosemary Beller, she'll have a birthday October 23rd. She'll turn 77.
How old are you, Norman? I forgot.
I'm 82.
Wow. 82. Well, good for you. 82 and still an accomplished kazooist and organist.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Well, Norman, it's a pleasure, and don't wait so long to call us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, thank you, Norman.
Yeah.
Okay, well, bye-bye. Norman's has a way with words. He really does.
We'll start doing that. People say, thank you, Tim. I'm going to say, yeah.
Yeah. He's interesting. Anything else with the Burke segment?
No, I got nothing.
One of those days?
No. Yeah.
Slow day? Well, close it. Burke segment is officially closed. Lily Tomlin is 81 today. Do you like Lily Tomlin?
Who is that?
Oh,
well,
I thought,
you don't know who she is. Then.
I always thought she was weird. Wondering.
I don't find her.
That's a no on the Woodya game.
Yeah.
I don't find her that funny. I
I just don't. I'm sure she's very talented, or she wouldn't be famous.
And
she's,
wasn't she like, was it Edith Ann, that little girl?
And she was the telephone operator.
Yeah, the one ring dingy, two yeah. ring.
You know who else's birthday it is that I like that you don't?
Who?
Dr. Phil. I like Dr. Phil. Okay. I think he's interesting. And comes across in a favorable way. I never saw an episode of his where it's like he's getting on my nerves or he's kind of. I mean, you're not a big fan of his.
Every episode gets on my nerves that I've ever seen. Yeah, of Dr. Phil because to me, and look, it's not anything he ever said
that I thought, you know
what you're talking about. That's wrong. It's just that he really only just says common sense things. I don't know why that makes him. What kind of doctor is he anyway?
I don't know, but he comes across as a healer to me. Like when families are having blow ups, you know, and the kid's going the wrong way and down the wrong path, and you know, it seems like he's able to talk. He surprises me with his ability to talk common sense to the people that you wouldn't think just by their appearance, much less by their actions and their.
Well, maybe I need to give him another look.
I don't know. I don't watch him anymore. I don't even know what time he comes on. I couldn't tell you what station he's on. But the times I did watch him, he's 7 years old today, so that's why I brought it up.
70.
Yeah.
Wow. He's really old.
Yeah.
That's not that old. Spring chicken.
Oh, it is.
Spring chicken.
That's old. That's really old.
We used to have a thing where he said, "Are you effing stupid or something?"
Yeah, that's in the other machine. That's in that one. I haven't recorded that yet.
Okay.
Way to call Limey out on. He's working his guts out, and you have to pick the one thing he hasn't transferred yet.
Sorry.
God. I wouldn't have done that to you. You know that, Limey.
Thanks, Frank.
Dan's always stirring it up.
There's, how much time? Let's see. Yeah, I think I might have time if I can make this happen. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can do this. Hold on. I have to step away for a second.
Oh, careful.
We're still hanging.
Coming.
Still hanging.
Yeah. It's coming. And it's good. Frank's
got a green shirt on. He's in a green chair. He's to the right of his microphone. He's got the phone in his right hand. He's scrolling the phone in his left hand.
It's going to be worth it.
He looks like he has about 234 yards to the pin.
It's going to be worth it.
Looks like he's going to take out his wedge.
I can't find it.
Here we go. I know, man.
I can't find it.
I was going to find some stalling music.
Now I'll look for it after we do the news. It's my granddaughter who will be 3 weeks old tomorrow. You know, people talk about the kids being geniuses and stuff.
Right.
3 weeks, it's her saying AM and the PM.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. I'll find it. And after the news.
So she's already talking.
And I'm not doing it to show up Theo or anything. You know, I'm just putting it out there. That's all. So,
is she walking now, too?
Yeah, right.
That was last week.
She eating solid food yet? No, Theo is. What's last up? Week.
She had corn on the cob yesterday. Okay, so listen to this fantastic email from her name is Velvet. You don't hear that name every day.
She
says, no. No, she just retired from air traffic control. She says about Landoff, she's got a new Equinox. She said the team at Landoff is much more than a car dealership. She says Terry contacted me from my online query, scheduled my appointment, turned me over to John Merriman. I never dreamed I could afford to get into a new vehicle. So I was shopping used cars. John has cars ready for me to drive, and I love the Equinox. I plan to go to other dealerships to drive Explorers and Santa Fe's. When John asked me if I wanted a new car with all the features I wanted on a used car, and he gave me the AM and the PM price, I said, I'll take it. I didn't even drive the Ford or the Hyundai. Consumers have gotten so used to being treated poorly, not at Johnny Landoff Chevrolet. Everyone shared in my excitement as I took delivery of my brand new Equinox, and then I got the opportunity to meet Drake and John. For those who don't know, Drake is John's dog. I think John liked me because Drake and I immediately became friends. I am so happy that you introduced me to the Landoff team. You choose only the best advertisers for the AM and the PM crowd, and we love you for it. Velvet, we love you for that email. What a great testimonial for Johnny Landoff. The pre-owned only location, that's the Autoplex in St. Peter's. And, of course, the world headquarters, the mothership up in the Florissant, now the Florissant Road exit while the work's being done. And from the other end, the Elizabeth Washington exit. 24/7 at Landoff.com. Dan Buffa will be with us after the news and a little bit of business. So Get ready with your suggestions for movies or TV shows. It's 4 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
This is locally owned 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. KFNS Wood River, St. Louis.
NBC News Radio. I'm Tom Roberts. President Trump says the Jacob Blake case should be handled locally. The black man was shot multiple times in the back by Kenosha, Wisconsin police last month. Trump visited Kenosha today and said he had a conversation with Blake's family pastor.
We have the pastor here who's...